Well, the Fed has concluded their most recent meeting. We've got a couple weeks until the Jackson Hole meeting out in Wyoming. Brian Chung will be there. And so we have seen the Fed chatter, Brian, pick up considerably over the last several days and really, you know, going to have more focus now after that very strong July jobs report. And I know you saw all the commentary in our inboxes over the weekend. It does seem that consensus is now, all right, let's start to get a timeline, at least framework sort of settled here so that we can begin talking about tapering.
Well, all the chatter out of the Federal Reserve before and even after the jobs report seemed to point to a tapering that would begin sometime later this year. The question is whether or not that'll be as early as September or as late as December. And I think that's where you'll find the range of views among the doves and the hawks of this Federal Open Market Committee. Now, the latest commentary that we heard was from the Atlanta Fed president, from Rafael Bostic. He was saying yesterday to reporters that he expects tapering to begin sometime in the October to December range. That's pretty wide, but he said that he's open to moving forward that timeline to maybe launch something as soon as the September FOMC. That'll be September 21 and 22nd. That depends on how the jobs data for future months come in. Now, you see that calendar ahead of you. These are the four timeframes that the Federal Reserve really has to make any sort of big announcement. We have to keep in mind that the central bank is fairly rigid. They try not to surprise anyone. So these will be the dates that you would expect to see any sort of big announcements. So the next big event, obviously, that Jackson Hole Symposium in Wyoming at the end of August in just a few weeks. And then their next policy setting meeting in terms of an update on their interest rate policy would come again at the end of September. But then there are still two more policy meetings, one at the beginning of November and then one in the middle of December. Again, those could be opportunities for providing an update on their balance sheet program if they did decide to push things off until the later part of the year. Now, again, for what it's worth, we've been hearing from commentary like the likes of Fed Governor Christopher Waller, who mentioned actually just last week that he could be ready to do an announcement by September. And keep in mind that was before the expectations beating job support for the month of July. So we'll also hear from a number of other Fed speakers as well. Chicago Fed President Charlie Evans on deck. And then just as a small plug, Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester speaking at 10 a.m., which I'll be hosting a conversation with her and a number of other people with regards to how inflation might be weighing on the outlook as well. So people can be tuning into the Cleveland Fed for that event. But we'll get a lot more color from the Fed, at least in the weeks to come, guys.
And in the weeks to come, too, of course, Brian, we're going to be watching what's going on with bond yields, because as we've had this earnings has been blown away estimates as we've talked about the numbers, but the concern persists about what's going to happen to margins, potentially what's going to happen to PEs, et cetera, if rates move up further. Even with this tapering talk, we still got a 10-year at only 1.32%, up off the lows to be sure, but still only 1.32%. So what are you going to be watching for in the bond market, or what are we hearing from bond market participants about how all this Fed talk is relating to what they're doing?
Well, I think when it comes to what we're looking at in bond yields, yes, it's been quite the fall since the spring when we saw the reflation trade really take the 10-year and the 30-year U.S. Treasury yield higher. But the question is, how much of that move down has been a change in the narrative over inflation? And I think that when we talk about looking at things like five-year break-evens, which again measures the spread between where nominal bond yields are and where inflation bets would be in the form of where yields are on the TIPS, Treasury inflation-protected securities, we're seeing that a lot of those expectations are still pretty much around the same. The bets from the market, at least, are something for around 2.5% inflation over the next 10 years, which would be, at least in some views, inconsistent with the Fed's new policy of allowing inflation to run moderately above its 2% target. Now, I do think what's also interesting is when you take a look at just how people are pricing in bond yields, real yields, if you take a look at inflation expectations, you subtract that from where real yields are, or from nominal yields, they're really low right now. And I think that that does kind of reflect or raise the question of whether or not people who are trading in the treasury markets are really pricing in economic optimism or the inflation story. And I think that people are still trying to reason through that as bond yields and then other asset classes as well try to reason through what is the proper pricing as we get these blowout earnings, as you pointed out. So I think that story is still very much in view. Obviously, Delta could be weighing on all of those things. And I think the Federal Reserve is watching all of those stories at the same time.
Looking forward to seeing if AMC commentary slips into any of this Fed speak, Brian, you know, since that seems to be Certainly.
I could certainly ask.
Look, you're the man asking the questions on that Fed panel. So anything could happen. All right. Yahoo Finance's Brian Chung working overtime this week, co-hosting the 1 to 3. Brian, thanks for jumping on this morning. All right.